news, prophecies, music, and the word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be gone. I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
A very good evening to our listeners. This is Eben, and the program is Issues of Life. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m., and I believe you are going to have a time filled with information, and as we also get into the Word of God long. You know, we are living in very interesting times, very, very interesting times. And, you know, look at some of the things happening in the world. You really, really get to appreciate how the Word of God is really a powerful book. Not just a book, but the inspired Word of God, indeed. And the most serious part of what is happening in the world is that there are major things happening that most people are also not aware of. Because the mainstream media, I mean, largely will not talk about it. So some of these things will be bringing it to your fore, so that at least you get to know and be informed. So tonight I'll be addressing one or two things happening at the global level, the United Nations, World Health Organization, and these are major, major significant things that we should understand and know. And so I put a little break on the, we need the Pentecost to address these ones, because these are recent happenings. And it's important we get to know what is happening as well. So first, let's get into some of the news, and then we see what's happening. First, with Russia, you know, very interesting changes happening now. Russia facing civil war because, you know, Russia is now, or Putin, let me put it this way, because he is the main problem, not the whole country. So, you know, he had this Wagner group as mercenaries fighting alongside the Russian soldiers in Ukraine. And the Wagner group, for whatever reason now, have turned against him. And it's more of like a treason, and they are really making moves towards Moscow. They are moving from Ukraine and going now towards Russia itself too. They've taken over some military positions and all that. So Putin has said that it's a treason that they are doing and all that. The fear is now he himself, they can turn on him. And more soldiers, the normal, regular, the regular Russian soldiers too can also join. So that can become a mutiny, and also there's real tension. And we're just like, it's good news for Ukraine, because now the people who are fighting against you are now fighting amongst themselves. But let's see how things pans out. And then the next news is Texas Public University offering women's studies courses on witchcraft and worship of the devil. You know, sometimes you see some of these reports and you wonder what has really come over humanity. It's like, but that's the world. So students at the publicly funded Texas universities are now able to enroll in courses about witches, black magic, and the supernatural under the guise of women's studies. And why women alone? So Texas Tech University is offering women and gender studies course 4301 titled Witches, Bruisers, and Black Magic in the course listed June 12 on the Labbook campus website. Then according to the course description, students will study beliefs and practices past and present associated with magic, witchcraft, spirituality, magical realism, and religion. The course curriculum will cover topics including ritual, symbolism, mythology, altered states of consciousness, and healing. While witches and black magic are familiar topics to many people, Bruisers might not be as well known. The Bruiser was a pre-Christian female witch figure from Portugal during the Middle Ages, and is considered a type of vampire entity known for blood-sucking attacks on infants. In addition to historical events, the course includes a number of satanic-oriented curricula, including studies on worship of the devil, witchcraft and the law, and demonic possession and witchcraft. You know, things like this, studying things like this will open you up. So you may not be a witch at the time of enrolling in this class, but it will open you up to spiritual things. You know, it's no wonder, you know, some of the recent surveys highlighted the number of youth who are in witchcraft or related spiritual things like that. And the numbers are quite staggering. You know, more youth want to, you know, they've made it look fashionable to be a witch or to be in an occult. So, you know, one of the means they used was the teen series, like the teenage, you know, school programs or movies and seasons and all those series on TV shows, the campus life, school programs, school movies, where they infuse a lot of witchcraft in them. So you watch and then you see girls are being able to, you know, they lift their hand and people are moving. They can throw people by the movement of their hands. You know, people can fly. So they, see, they made it, they use the movie or the entertainment industry to project witchcraft and all these satanic and occultic practices as fashionable and something which is nice for, you know, a modern, trendy, you know, student, girl and all guys to engage in. So you see, because these are spiritual things, you get interested in it and your spirit becomes open up to some of these things. And it's horrible. You see, that's why I keep stressing on this program that parents should be careful that the content they let their children watch. It's not only in the movies per se, but even in the cartoons where you have this witchcraft and the flying and this and flying and all these things. You see, it makes the child see it as something worth trying. So they go on and on and on, and they start projecting it into them, how to go about it. They dream about it. And then, you know, spiritual things are spiritual things. They get hooked into it. You know, I've shared this here before. A few years ago, a lady in church shared how in the middle of the night, 1 a.m. thereabout, went to the kid's room and saw his boy. Then at that time, the boy was about 5 or so. Seated on the bed with crossed legs and chanting. And it's like, where from this? I mean, where from this? And the child, well, he saw it on TV, so he learnt it on TV. So now this child, 1 a.m., a child, 5-year-old boy, awake, seated, crossed legs, and chanting whatever he's saying. Well, he knows. See, so some of these things, when you talk about it, the parents should be wary of the content. It's not just that you are being too hard on them, on the children, but we have to be careful. We have to be very careful as parents. The next news, ISIS-linked militants kill dozens of students and abduct 6 in Uganda school. So they killed about 40 students, and a neighbor reported, talked the fact that the students were singing Christian songs, like, and then the attackers came and started killing them. And it's just unfortunate. This ISIS guys and the related agent groups killing in the name of religion. The Newman court cancels Christian teachers' license for refusing trans pronouns. So a New Zealand court has ruled in favor of cancelling a Christian high school math teacher's license to teach after he refused to call a trans-identified student by a preferred name and pronouns. So the New Zealand Teachers Disciplinary Tribunal, an independent body with each panel chaired by a lawyer and 2 teachers, issued a decision against an unnamed maths teacher in February. But the ruling was made public this Monday. At issue was the teacher refusing to call a 14-year-old student born female at birth by the preferred male name because it went against his sincerely held Christian beliefs. By the way, the school is supposed to be a Christian school. Deputy Chair T. Mackenzie authored the decision, writing that for the teacher to not only ignore the student's wishes and instruction of the school, the supposed Christian school, but also to isolate them and advise them, it was wrong. Advice is also wrong now. and risk quite significant harm to the children. You know, seriously, this whole movement of this trans thing, it's taking the world by storm in a way which sometimes you look at some of the reports and you just wonder how human beings are thinking now. You know, fine, I mean, if you don't believe us are doing these things, I mean, that's their bad case. I mean, but when the supposed church and the supposed Christian institutions also jump into the fray and justify why these things are acceptable, then it becomes very worrying and troubling. I mean, ideally, let this happen in any other school, but not in a Christian school. But, well, suppose Christian school. But so you see, some of these institutions should just delink the Christian out of their names, because if you call yourself a Christian school and you can't stand by the Christian values, then what's your use? What's your worth calling, identifying yourself as a Christian institution? Now we go to Uganda, where Christian converts hospitalized after relatives beat them for praying to Jesus. So in Uganda, we have relatives of two brothers who accepted Christ in May beat them for leaving Islam earlier this month in eastern Uganda, sources said. Janati, 22, and his 33-year-old brother Ibrahim received hospital care for nearly a week after family members attacked them on June 3rd, following a burial service for their sister in Bunya, that's a village. And then the two brothers moved to Mbale, about 135 kilometers away, for work reasons, and heard a gospel broadcast there that led them to visit the radio preacher's church in Mbale on 22nd May. He said, "At the end of the service, my brother and I remained behind," Kembu told Morning Star News. "There we talked to the pastor and asked several questions relating to the gospel message that he had preached over the radio. After that, we believed in Isa, that's Jesus. On 2nd June, we learned that our sister had died, so they went the next day they went for the burial. At around 10 p.m., they were listening to the pastor on the radio in their room. Before ending the preaching, he asked the listeners to join him in prayers," Kakembo said. "So we joined in prayers and began praying. One of our elder brothers saw us praying in the room and went and informed the other members of the family who came to see what was going on. They found us seriously praying, following the pastor on radio. The family members made video phone recordings of us praying, then called us into the sitting room to question about why we were praying in the name of Jesus rather than Muhammad," according to the brothers. "They accused us that we are no longer Muslims," Kakembo said. Our elder brother, Shaban, a teacher by profession, got angry with us and started beating us with a blunt object which he had with him, as the rest of the family members also joined in and started beating us badly. He said, "Our father came in and began shouting, 'Stop, don't kill them in my house. Just send them away from my house. From today on, I'm no longer their father and they are no longer my children.' My brothers obeyed our dad and sent us away in the night," Kakembo said, "as I was bleeding from a deep cut under my eye, near the right eye and the forehead, whilst my brother suffered a deep cut on his forehead as well, and the eye injury and the swollen neck. After walking about 200 meters, we telephoned the pastor, who arranged for Christians in Bulamongi, another district, away to rescue them. They took the brothers in the middle of the night to a medical clinic and were discharged June 10th. The Christians have taken refuge in an undisclosed location. We are ostracized and disowned. We need prayers so that God will comfort us as we feel rejected," Kakembo said. Indeed, I mean, we have to remember them in our prayers. Indeed, people are really, really, really going through a lot for the sake of the cross. Wow. According to a report from Nigeria, 700 Christians killed in May, according to this NGO report. And they give the statistics as one of the bloodiest episodes in anti-Christian violence in the country's history goes on. And, you know, it's unfortunate. But Nigeria's issue, I shudder to say that it's not going to end, because it's even going to get worse. Because when... You see, they had a Muslim president and Christian vice. A whole lot has happened. Many, 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 several thousands. I've been reading the statistics here in the news and all. And now that they've dropped the Christian vice, it is now Muslim, that you can imagine it gets worse for the Christians there in Nigeria. We just have to remember them in our prayers as well. Then we go to the U.S. As for U.S. now, it's a country on steroids. It's like the madness is just too much now. College accused of firing professor for saying chromosomes determine sex. So a Texas biology, Texas College, where a biology professor has been fired because he was teaching what is in biology. And he's taught it for 20 years. I mean, common sense, chromosomes is what determines sex. Now, you are teaching the same thing in the biology textbooks, and you say, no. So, St. Philip's College, which is part of the Alamo College District, reportedly fired the professor, Johnson Vaki, in January after teaching at the institution for 20 years. So, they fired him for teaching human biology just as he did in his previous 20-year career as a professor. His statements are not only supported by extensive education and experience, but they also reflect the sincerity of his beliefs. So he's been teaching 20 years biology. What is biology? We all know as biology. I mean, but now he teaches and then students walk out and go and report him that he's not supporting what he's saying, doesn't support their beliefs as students. That it's chromosomes that determine one's sex or gender. So the university followed suit and sacked him. I mean, you just ask yourself, what has come upon the world? Biology. You know, I remember last year or so, I read one news, one university in the U.S., medical school university, and medical students reported their professor for teaching in a medical school. Understand that, medical school, that a man cannot be pregnant. And the students were angry. Supposed doctors in training, they don't want to hear that men cannot be pregnant. Then they are furious. They reported the professor to the university, was being investigated. I just like, come on, investigating a medical professor for saying that a man cannot be pregnant. It's amazing. Today, one listener, Jerry, sent me a message. He said he was watching France 22 and he was watching a report on this, I mean, transgender thing. And I could feel his anger when he sent me the voice notes. Because, you see, sometimes you watch some of these news and it's like, your head can't, I don't know, you just can't even see where to start thinking and where to end. Because that thing doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that if you demand a man can be pregnant and you say no, they say, hey, why say so? You are being this, you are being that. Now, the most difficult question in the world, now is, what is a woman? You ask this question and then it's like learned people, professors are struggling to answer. Educated people, it's like, wow, what is a woman? As simple as that, they can't answer it. They will be fumbling, they will be this. And sometimes you just watch such educated people embarrass themselves on CNN or other live television or U.S. Senate or Congress when people are being interviewed. And it's like, you just see that it's like they know who a woman is. They can define who a woman is, but because they don't want to offend some people. So if you go strictly by the definition of who a woman is, then that means you're offending the transgender people. And because you don't want to offend, then I won't define it. So what is a woman? And then they'll be booting around the bush. They won't answer it. You realize something is wrong with this world now. Something is definitely wrong with this world. But this is a beautiful news from Iran. Great awakening is exploding in Iran. Visions, dreams, and miraculously answered prayers are taking place. Christianity is illegal in Iran, yet, despite facing imprisonment, torture, and execution, millions of Iranians are forsaking the Muslim faith and convert into Christianity. According to Open Doors International, there are more than 1.2 million believers residing within the reach of the brutal Islamic Iranian regime. This phenomenon is happening despite the regime's efforts to target believers and spread false information and encourage a negative opinion about Christianity. Leila Gilbert, a senior fellow for international religious freedom at Family Research Council, suggests that Iran holds little power over curtailing the good news of Jesus Christ. In my research and interviews, it has come clear that new Christians' witness to others is mostly shared in quiet conversations, encouraged by low-profile online Bible studies, and affirmed by visions, dreams, and miraculously answered prayers, she explained. Quote, due to risky circumstances, recent Christian converts are enthusiastically communicating about their changed lives with friends and loved ones, but quietly and carefully. However, their discreet but persistent witness accounts for the extraordinary number of new Iranian believers who meet in small house churches, Gilbert continued. Those involved with the house church movement in Iran are convinced that there are likely several million Christian believers there, she added. Neil Pipes, president of Middle East Forum, also reports Christianity is flourishing. An evangelical pastor, formerly an Iranian Muslim, conquered as far back as 2008. Quote, we find ourselves facing what is more than a conversion to the Christian faith. It's a mass exodus from Islam, he explained in Newsweek a few years ago. Pipes adds that the house church is key to the growth of the Christian faith in Iran. He explains the practice of what are sometimes called Muslim background believers, MBB, lacks clergy and church buildings, but instead consists of self-starting disciples and tiny house churches of 4 to 5 members each, with either hushed singing or none at all. Its lay leadership, in striking contrast to the mullahs who rule Iran, consists mainly of women. Women like Maria Amirzadeh have remained formidable in their faith despite being incarcerated and tortured in Tehran's notorious Evin prison for being a Christian. As CBN News reported, Mazi, as she is known, eventually escaped Iran and started a new life in the U.S. But her exile, she and a friend smuggled 20,000 Bibles into Tehran because God told her to plant the seeds. We knew how much Iranians are thirsty, and when we returned to Tehran, we had no idea what to do and how we can serve the Lord. And I remembered we just prayed and asked him to give us a vision, Mavi revealed. And one day, as I was reading the Bible, the Lord showed me that Iran is like a big desert. There is now seed in this land. And he said, plant some seeds. Then I will grow it with the power of the Holy Spirit. I like it. Plant some seeds. Then I will grow it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Beautiful, beautiful story there from Iran. Okay, so I'll be back after this short break as we listen to Amy Grant's El Shaddai.
Hey, this is Cheval Franklin, and you're listening to
Spirit 88.3 FM, your family-friendly radio station in Kumasi, Ghana.
One of the hottest gospel stations ever.
Age to age, you're still the same.
beautiful song by Emigrant and El Shaddai. Very, very popular song. And, you know, as I said earlier, I'll be talking about some key things happening in which we have to be informed about as believers. You know, some of these things, you know, when you get to know it, it gives you a better perspective of where we are, the times we are in, and all that. You see, it's very critical, because let me just read one verse today and continue from there. You see, when Jesus talked of the end times, Matthew 24, he was asked the question. The first statement he made means a lot of things. 24, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive you. You know, that's so paramount, because it means deception is going to be the bedrock of the end times. Deception is going to be the bedrock of the end times. So, furthermore, I mean, he goes on where he talks of verse 5, verse 11, verse 24, where that one he talks of the deception in the church, I mean, and all that. But in general, the end time itself is going to be based on deception. So deception, political deception, social deception, religious deception, all sorts of this. I mean, everything will be based on deception. We serve the same God, we are this, we... You see, everything, the UN, the agenda they are pushing, all these things based on deception, deception, deception. So it's one reason why as believers we should be interested in knowing the truth. We should be interested in knowing the truth, because you see, the truth makes you empowered to identify deception. That's the power of knowing the truth. So this evening, let me just read briefly these two things. And so let me start with this one. The first, the introduction says, you know, digital identification is one of the primary areas the globalists are focusing on right now. And as you see, the radical changes that are now being proposed are extremely scary. But most believers have no idea that any of these things are happening. Meanwhile, the globalists are achieving their goals at lightning speed, and there is hardly any resistance at all. You know, of course, I mean, we can't resist them, but at least we have to be wise and know what is happening. Okay, I think some people had problems listening online, so I think it's fixed now. Okay. All right. Okay, so let me continue. So we have, starting in September, the EU will mandate that all member states offer a digital identity wallet to all their citizens and businesses. So the European Union will mandate digital identity under EIDAS 2.0, which will go into effect September 2023, and ensure all member states offer a digital identity wallet, DIW, to citizens and businesses. According to the European Commission, at least 80% of the citizens should be able to use digital ID solutions to access key public services by 2030. But, so that's the intro. You know, so the main two news items which I'm dwelling on. So the first is, United Nations orders banks worldwide to make digital IDs mandatory for all customers. So the UN has ordered banks worldwide to begin issuing mandatory digital IDs to all customers and refuse service to anyone deemed non-compliant or blacklisted by the globalist organization. So the plan is outlined in three new policy briefs from the UN entitled A Global Digital Compact, reforms to the international financial architecture and the future of our outer space governance, unquote. Let me repeat. A global digital compact, reforms to the international financial and financial architecture and the future of outer space governance. That's very interesting. It says, the goal of the briefs is to advance UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres' vision for the future and Klaus Schwab's plan for the Great Reset by the year 2030. Titled A Common Agenda, Guterres' draconian plan should be given the green light by September 2024 during an event dubbed the Summit for the Future. From the report, digital IDs linked with bank or mobile money accounts can improve the delivery of social protection coverage and serve to better reach eligible beneficiaries. Digital technologies may help to reduce leakage, errors, and cost in the design of social protection programs. Then, goes on to say that, not unlike their unofficial counterparts over at the World Economic Forum, the UN also speaks about basically regulating the global digital future. The unelected organization uses phrases such as international cooperation and many stakeholders who will advance principles, objectives, and actions to describe this globalist agenda. The digital future as envisaged by these groups is going to be quite the opposite of open, free, or human-centric, however. As far as the UN's vision for a future global financial system, it's supposed to be harmonized by the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. It would be governed by something called the apex body that is yet to be set up. The key actors here would be the United Nations chief, as well as the Group of 20 and the Economic and Social Council and the heads of international financial institutions. Within this, the UN sees visions of a global digital compact. Essentially, the objective is to have people, devices, and entities all tied up in a connected network that could apparently be centrally administered, seemingly by unelected bureaucrats. Meanwhile, the World Economic Forum has just partnered with a leading biometrics company to advance its own agenda to digitize humanity. Swedish biometrics company Fingerprint Cards has taken a big step into the World Economic Forum's new champions community, an assembly of mid-sized enterprises. The World Economic Forum is keen to promote biometric forms of digital ID and claims the technology would serve as a steward of social inclusion. Social inclusion. The new champions community's schedule includes a meeting with Tianjin, China from June 27th, that's next week, to June 29th during the World Economic Forum Summer Davos Gathering. Now, let me give a little background to this. They are feverishly working towards this digital ID thing because, you see, they need to control humans, everyone in the world. You can best control people if you can identify them. You can best control people if you can have a way of punishing them if they refuse to join the system. So one way of ensuring that people are forced to be part of the system, the globalist system, is forced identification. Meaning this identification then is linked to everything around you and about you. So that means you are forced to be part of it. Meaning once you're out of it, you lose your social systems. You can't be part of the society, technically. So you would have everything being connected to your identification, your ID, your digital ID. So if we log in your ID, your number, your image comes, your name comes, your bio data comes, all other things about you connected to it, your social security card connected, your health insurance card connected, driving license connected, passport connected, bank cards, any other connected. So if you are not complying with the system and they need to punish you, all they have to do is just deactivate you, block you in the system, and everything about you then is also blocked. So once you are blocked, your insurance card is blocked, your driving license is blocked, your passport is blocked, your SNITs, everything. That's the vision that they have. And the question you ask yourself is, why are they feverishly and seriously pushing for this? Why? We are living well. We are living in that world, and we are going on everything fine for everybody, supposedly. So why this by force plan of world identity, global identity? Have you thought about it? We are Christian. So when some of these things are rearing their heads, gradually, then we should go back to the Bible to understand, has the Bible spoken about something like this? That a time will come where there will be a false system of identity, a false system of worship, a false system of being part of the world. Tonight I'm not going deep into it, but if you read Revelation chapter 13, it's clear there where you talk of, you see, this global thing is what is summarized in Revelation chapter 13, if you really study it well. You see, so it looks like, it's just identification. So it's, yes, about compliance. But then when you read in between the lines well, you realize that those who don't comply to these things then fall prey to the consequences. Because then that means you have to be cut off the system. You cannot fit into the society. You cannot live in the city. You cannot, So you look at some of these things and it begins to really connect based on how Bible prophecy has put some things. Let me read the second one, then we get a better perspective. So the second major news I'm talking about regarding these things is the European Commission and the World Health Organization, those people, launch landmark digital health initiative to strengthen global health security. The World Health Organization and the European Commission have announced today, not exactly today, it was somewhere last 2 weeks, but in this June, I have to check the date itself, where have announced the launch of a landmark digital health partnership. Digital again. In June 2023, that's this June we are in, WHO will take up the European Union system of digital COVID-19 certification to establish a global system that will help facilitate global mobility, underline global mobility, and protect citizens across the world from ongoing and future health threats, including pandemics. This is the first building block of the WHO Global Digital Health Certification Network, GDHCN, that will develop a wide range of digital products to deter and deliver better health for all. Building on the EU's highly successful digital certification network, WHO aims to offer all WHO member states access to an open source digital health tool, which is based on the principles of equity, innovation, transparency, data protection, and privacy. Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, WHO Director General, quotes, says, new digital health products in development aim to help people everywhere receive quality health services quickly and more effectively, unquote. Based on the EU Global Health Strategy and the WHO Global Strategy on Digital Health, the initiative follows the November 30th, 2022 agreement between the Commissioner Kyriakides and Dr. Tedros to enhance strategic cooperation on global health issues. This further bolsters a robust multilateral system with WHO at its core, powered by a strong EU. This partnership is an important step for the Digital Action Plan of the EU Global Health Strategy. By using European best practices, we contribute to the digital health standards and interoperability globally, to the benefit of those most in need. It is also a powerful example of how alignment between the EU and WHO can deliver better health for all in the EU and across the world, as the directing and coordinating authority on international health work. There is no better partner than the WHO to advance the work we started in the EU and further develop global digital health solutions, said Stella Kayodes, then the Commissioner for Health and Food Safety. Then goes on to say that this partnership will include close collaboration in the development, management, and implementation of the WHO GDHCN system, benefiting from the European Commission's ample technical expertise in the field. A first step is to ensure that the current EU digital certificates continue to function effectively. With 80 countries and territories connected to the EU digital COVID-19 certificates, the EU has set a global standard. The EU certificate has not only been an important tool in our fight against the pandemic, but has also facilitated international travel and tourism. I am pleased that the WHO will build on the privacy-preserving principles and cutting-edge technology of the EU certificate to create a global tool against future pandemics, added Thierry Breton, Commissioner for International Markets. A global health WHO system building on EU legacy. Then goes on to talk about it because of time. But then see, in if you go on and then you read the further details of the document, the WHO is now taking a power and a position that they will now supersede even the sovereignty of countries. And some countries are beginning to get worried. I mean, yesterday I saw one such report. Because you see, it's like they will now dictate how things should be done in your country. What should be done? What should be suspended? What should not be? And the details are really quite unfortunate. But the bottom line is they are using health as a way of controlling. And you see, so eventually, the first report I read from the UN talking of the digitization, WHO is also part of UN, and they're also bringing their own. So eventually, they are bringing two systems. I mean, it looks like for now it's separate. But I can tell you for sure that as time progresses, there will be a measure somewhere. There will be a connecting point. So eventually, they will now dictate to you that because you don't conform to ABC, you cannot move from point A to point B. You cannot do this, you cannot do that. Your social status can be controlled. You see, on the surface, it will look harmless. Oh yes, to the ordinary person, it will look harmless. But if we decide to really align it well with the Word of God and with discernment, with the help of the Holy Spirit and all that, then you begin to see that there is an agenda behind this whole thing. But it's riding on the wings of technology. So it looks like, oh, advancement, oh, digitization. Oh, yes. You see, there's nothing wrong with digitization on the surface. But the bigger question is, what is it meant to achieve eventually? Even what is meant to achieve may look good and may sound good. But then the problem arises when you begin to see the consequences of those who oppose it. Then you realize that no, then there's something more to it. Because if it's a good thing and some don't want to align with it, well, that's their choice. But we are now looking at a situation where they want to enrope and put in every citizen, every single person in the world should be part of the globalist agenda. They should be, you cannot escape it. So far as you would want to resist and oppose it, then you are the enemy of the world system. And that is where we are headed. You see, so when you see some of these things in these reports, we as believers should then understand where we are gradually drifting to, because then we'll get to a point where eventually one day they will tell us that, well, if you don't do ABC, you are not fit to be in this world. You are the enemy of the state. The enemy of the state means, then that means you are wanted. You cannot then be in the city. You have to run, you have to hide, be in bushes and whatever. You see, some of these things look far-fetched. But then if you look at how things are going in the world, and the world systems beginning to turn more anti-God, and there's God willing, next week I'll be addressing some other points as well, where you see they are beginning to attack, you know, now they use this misinformation, disinformation, and all. You see, controlling what you should say, controlling what you should know. So it's all about power and control. So controlling, you see, and then narrowing the freedoms of the citizenry in the world. And a lot of these things, we realize that the end losers, or those who really will fall out of it, are Christians. You cannot say this. You cannot say God. You cannot say this. You cannot say this. You cannot say that. You can. At the end of the day, when you look at all that this thing is moving around, it's the Christians who become the target. Because the Christians are the ones who say that, no, we will say this. We will say this. We believe in this. And the system will say that, no, you cannot believe in this. You cannot say that. That means then Christians are the ones who become the enemy of the system and the enemy of the state, or the enemy of the world. So we are living in very interesting times. And a lot of these things are happening calmly and quietly behind the scenes. So if you are not really following some things, you would think nothing is happening. But a lot is happening at a very fast pace. See, they have their plan and their timelines. So eventually, at the right time, some things will come out. So they are not really rushing to say things. They are doing it according to their own pace. But eventually, it will come out, and eventually some things will be known, and eventually they will implement some things. So we are not just in ordinary times. We are in real times where Christians should understand that we need to get closer to God, because times are not ordinary as we may see it. Oh, yes. I've said it and I'll say it again. You see, the COVID was the beginning of a new world. Some people may not understand it, but if you understand it and you study and you analyze things well, the COVID thing was the beginning of a new world system. It was what introduced us, the world, into a new face of the world. Because that's what was used to catapult a whole lot of things. Used to do their tests and all that, analyze human behavior and all that, the lockdowns, the this and the that and the that. You see, so a lot of things have gone on in the last 3 years. And based on these things, more things are coming up. So let's be informed as believers, and we should not fall for the deception of the times. One of the greatest deceptions we should learn to resist is trusting the systems, the government systems, the global systems. The UN is this, the government is saying this. We should, as believers, be more discerning than just following the system. I'm Eben, and I think we can end it here. I think the online listeners today are a little on and off issues, but then the program has been recorded. It will be put on spiritissues.info, and it will be put on the Telegram group as well, so we can listen to the full uninterrupted ones. Those who were online and had on and off schedules, they can have the full uninterrupted, and you can also listen again and all that. So spiritissues.info, that's where the recorded version will be, and then the Telegram group Spirit Issues, and then you can just join the group and you can be having the messages from there. So thank you for listening. Good night and God bless you.
Praise and lift you high, El Shaddai.